You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. One of President Trump's big campaign promises, as we know, was to rewrite NAFTA to be a better deal for the United States, or he said he would scrap the trade pact with Mexico and Canada. And talks are happening right now to renegotiate the North American Free Trade Act. My next guest wants to make sure that Michigan agriculture is protected whatever happens to NAFTA. Jamie Clover Adams is director of the Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development. Jamie, welcome.
Great to be here.
And it is worth noting, agriculture really is in your blood. You are a farm girl from Ionia County.
Absolutely. I was maybe one of the black sheep. I went to the University of Michigan for school, but grew up on a small Angus farm here in Ionia County.
So tell us, how crucial, Jamie, is NAFTA to the success of Michigan agriculture?
It's absolutely vital. If you look at the data, it makes up about 38% of the exports that we have, $2.8 billion annually, and that supports about 26,000 jobs. If we take cattle, for example, what I grew up with, trade, not just NAFTA, but trade, makes up about $350 a head on colored cattle. If we didn't have trade, even though Michigan cattle don't always go into trade, those prices would drop for Michigan farmers. So trade is just really important for prices.
If indeed President Trump winds up following through on that promise to blow up NAFTA, if he doesn't think that America is getting a good deal, what would blowing up that deal mean for Michigan farmers and growers?
On the Mexican side right now, NAFTA means that there are no tariffs on anything going into Mexico or coming from Mexico into the U.S. We would revert, as I understand it, back to the tariffs that existed 24, 25 years ago before NAFTA was put in place. With Canada, I would assume that it would be the same, although trade isn't as free, particularly in the dairy sector, into Canada. But, you know, I really don't think it's going to get to that. You know, the president is correct that NAFTA needs to be modernized. I kind of chuckled this one into effect the year that I was married, and I know that a lot of things have changed since then, and there are things that we do need to work on and modernize, and I think he understands the importance of trade to agriculture.
Last week, I know you attended the 26th Tri-National Agricultural Accord in Denver, a four-day summit that brought together state and federal and provincial officials from the U.S., Canada, and Mexico to talk all things agriculture, opportunities, trade, and rural development. Tell me, what was the tenor in the room at the summit?
Well, you know, I think it was interesting. I did notice a difference this year. I've been to, I think this is my fourth or fifth one that I've been to since I've been director, and it was different. And I think the difference was, normally we get together and we talk about irritants, because that's what we focus on. You know, how can we work better as regulatory agencies on, you know, dairy products coming across the border with Canada, or, you know, fever ticks on cattle with Mexico. This time around, I think the fact that NAFTA is being renegotiated, we all step back and we reassess the importance of the relationship between the three countries. And we did talk a lot about how being a trading bloc, having an integrated economy, an integrated supply chain, helps us be stronger in the world economy. We've seen trading blocks arise around the world, and we need to be a part of one as well to help our farmers and ranchers be competitive.
What were some of the top worries or concerns that you heard amongst the agriculture leaders from these three countries?
Well, I think particularly from Canada and Mexico was just what you discussed earlier, was that the whole agreement would be scrapped. We spent a lot of time on the U.S. side, you know, making sure that our neighbors understood that we valued the partnerships we had with them. We value the relationships that we have with them. And we understand that agriculture is an integrated system across both the northern and the southern borders, and that we had just as much to lose as they did, and that we would work just as hard as they did to make sure that, you know, we lift up all farmers and ranchers and rural communities across the three countries.
Would you say there was more division or more agreement among the officials attending this accord?
More agreement. It's kind of funny, you know, in agriculture here in the U.S., regardless of party, we all see things pretty much the same way. We have a lot more in common than we have differences, and I think it is the same across the borders as well. You know, they're concerned about their producers and their rural communities, as are we. And the issues that we work on are how to make that trade flow more easily. How is it that, you know, states and provinces can bring ideas to the table? You know, that's the one thing we did talk about, is we'd like to see in the NAFTA agreement that in the future, people in our positions are part of the negotiation. You know, states and provinces are the laboratories of ideas, and we are problem-solving people because we work on the ground all the time, and it would be good for the people that are negotiating to understand how to solve problems.
If you just joined us, I'm talking with Jamie Clover Adams, who directs the Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development, as we explore the talks going on right now to renegotiate the North American Free Trade Act, NAFTA, and what that might mean to agriculture in Michigan. And, you know, one of President Trump's signature campaign messages was also that he was going to build that wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. There are some prototypes going up that he's going to go inspect. But what was the talk at that conference you were at about the wall?
Actually, that didn't even come up. We did have discussions about ag labor. That's a problem in all three of our countries, you know, having enough people, particularly to pick hand-harvested crops. And, you know, while folks from the city may see that as manual labor, it really is very high-skilled labor. I often laugh. If I got hired to pick blueberries, I'd probably be fired the first day because I would never be able to keep up with some of these guys and how good they are at what they do. And I was frankly surprised that in Mexico, they are facing many of the same issues that we are, finding labor to harvest hand-harvested crops. And then we also see issues in our, you know, egg facilities, in our dairy facilities in particular. So we spend our time talking more about how do we share labor as opposed to, like I said, the wall never came up.
If the wall would be built, how do you see it affecting Michigan farmers, if at all?
Well, I think we're already seeing the impacts, even though it's not built. You know, we're at the end of the pipeline. That's the first thing to keep in mind, that migrants that come from Texas and Florida, they follow the maturing of the crop. So we're at the end. We have seen people hunker down where they are and they're not coming back because perhaps they have one or two undocumented folks in their party and they don't want to risk it. We have seen countrywide, I think I saw data, we're at, I think, 200,000 H-2A workers. We've seen a significant increase in H-2A workers, and that's the legal guest worker program. It's very clunky and very old, but farmers are turning to that to ensure that they have labor to pick their crops.
We have certainly spoken with a lot of farmers and growers on this program about their concerns of hands to do the work. NAFTA is a highly complex trade agreement, a lot of moving parts, and a lot subject to change. What part or parts of NAFTA do you worry most about being changed or scrapped?
We're concerned that we protect the gains that we've made. That's the first thing. So we want to make sure that we don't erect any tariffs, for example, with Mexico, because it's tariff-free back and forth across the border. We'd like to keep that. We would like to see gains in sanitary and phytosanitary, for example. We don't want a backslide. We want science to drive what goes in and out of countries. And, you know, an example, again, with Mexico, it doesn't affect Michigan, but, you know, there's some issues with table potatoes going into Mexico. They can only go within 26 miles of the border because of supposed pest issues. But there really is no science behind that. And so we'd like to see some gains in that area. With Canada, we have a lot more in common in our systems, but, you know, they do have quotas on dairy products that can go into Canada, and we'd like to see a little more opportunity for our farmers and co-ops and businesses to be able to compete for Canadian business. So we don't want to see any backsliding on that. There is some concern about proposals that would allow more regional ways to look at dumping, particularly in the southeast part of our country. I think that would have a detrimental impact on some of our fruit and vegetable products because we don't compete head-to-head with what comes in from Mexico because, again, of the weather, you know, when the crops mature, where, you know, some of the stuff coming in from Mexico, particularly tomatoes, competes head-to-head with Georgia and Florida. So that one's a little more concerning, but I'm sure that they'll figure out how to get what both sides need, and that's what we need to do is look at how can both sides win.
What do you say to many of these voters in these communities who said yes to Donald Trump and they liked what he said about we'll throw it out if it's not a better deal for the U.S., but yet they could be even further affected if that trade deal is scrapped?
What I would like to say to them is, let's get together. I mean, the other thing I talked about at the Tri-National Accord in Denver was with our Canadian counterparts, particularly is Governor Snyder's initiative to get people into the skilled trades. I think in the world that we live in today, you know, and I have a soon-to-be 21-year-old, and her world is going to be very different than mine was. And I think the best thing that we can do for people and the best thing we can do, particularly for rural communities, is make sure that people have the skill sets that they need to be competitive in today's market. The governor talks all the time about, you know, the numbers of jobs that are available in Michigan that go unfilled. And that's where I would point people, rather than trying to find somebody to blame. Let's all work together and help lift people up and help them get the training that they need and continue to learn. I think that's the other thing about the future is we're going to have to be lifelong learners. You know, I spoke to a group of kids over at MSU in the Animal Science Club, and I just said, you know, when you get your degree from here, that's not the end. It's the beginning.
Jamie Clover Adams, Director of the Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development. Jamie, thank you so much for your time on Stateside today.
Great. It was good to be here.